says, which may make me feel good. I want you back, Carl. Yeah. I know, as you said, Mom, but even sometimes our own staff, other staff people, this whole thing, we sit here, and I never think of it. We hear the budget from first, and I, you know, and I, when we want to put off a week, and then, yeah, at this point, I have to budget. But it won't be the only story.
Talking points, but I've got two things that need to be.
Yeah.
So this memo that's up here stayed much better, we wrote. Talking fast in tonight's scenario.
This fellow's trying to like make public a plan for peace, which could bring the war to an end, Vietnam. Bring the land, which can end the war in Vietnam. Vietnam presents, on behalf of the government of the United States and the government of South Vietnam, with full knowledge and approval of President Chu, is both generous and far-reaching. It is a plan to end the war now. It includes an offer to withdraw all American forces within 6 months of the agreement. Its acceptance would mean the speedy return of all the prisoners of war to their homes. 3 years ago, when I took office, there were 550,000 Americans fighting in Vietnam. The never killed in action was running as high as 300 a week. There were no plans to bring any Americans home. The only thing that had been settled in Paris was the shape of the continent. I immediately moved to fulfill a pledge I had made in the campaign, made to the American people, to bring about a peace that could last, not only for the United States, but for the long-suffering people of all of Southeast Asia. There were two honorable paths open to us. The path of negotiation was and is the path we prefer, but it takes two to negotiate. There had to be another way in case the other side refused to negotiate. That plan was called Vietnamization. This meant training and equipping the South Vietnamese to defend themselves, and steadily withdrawing Americans as they developed the capacity to do so. The path of Vietnamization has been successful. 2 weeks ago, I announced that by May 1st, American forces in Vietnam would be down to 69,000. That means almost 1/2 million Americans will have been withdrawn from Vietnam over the past 3 years. In terms of American lives, the losses of 300 a week have been reduced by over 95% to less than 10. The path of vitalization has been the long voyage home, straining the patience and testing the perseverance of the American people. But of the shortcut, the path of negotiation. Progress here has been disappointing. The American people deserve an accounting as to why it has been disappointing. Tonight I intend to give you that accounting, and in so doing, to try to break the deadline of negotiation. We made a series of public proposals designed to bring an end to the conflict. After 10 months of no progress in the talks in Paris, I became convinced that it was necessary to explore the possibility of negotiating in private channels to see whether it would be possible to end the public deadline. After consultation with Secretary Rogers, our ambassador in Saigon, our chief negotiator in Paris, with full knowledge and approval of President Chu, I sent Dr. Kissinger to Paris as my personal representative on August 4, 1969, to begin the secret peace negotiations. At that time, Dr. Kissinger has traveled to Paris 12 times on these secret missions. He has met 7 times in late October, when the Panoi's top political leaders and Minister Nam Thi Phong, head of the North Vietnamese delegation in Paris talks. He has met with Ministers Wan Thi, Xuan Thuy, along with my attorney. I would like to take this opportunity to thank President Pompeo of France for his personal assistance in facilitating the arrangements for these talks. This is why I initiated these private negotiations. Privately, both sides can be more flexible in offering new approaches. Also, private discussions allow both sides to talk frankly, to take positions free from the pressures of public debate. In seeking peace in Vietnam, not now. So many lives at stake.
Denounced us for not having responded at all.
to induce many Americans in the press and Congress into accepting their propaganda. Americans, the truth could not know that they were being falsely used by the enemy to stir up the business in this country. I decided in October that we should make another attempt to break the deadline. I consulted with President Hugh, who concurred fully in a new plan. On October 11th, I sent a private communication to North Vietnamese that contained new elements that could move negotiations forward and urge a meeting on November 1st between Dr. Kissinger and Special Advisor De La Cove, or some other appropriate official. On October 25, North Vietnamese agreed to meet and suggested November 20. On November 17, just 3 days before the scheduled meeting, they said the doctor was ill. We offered to meet as soon as the doctor recovered, with him or immediately with any other authorized leader who could come from him. 2 months have passed since they called off that meeting. The only reply to our plan has been an increase in troop infiltration from North Vietnam and communist military offensives in Laos. Our proposal for peace was answered by a step up in the war. That's where matters stand today. We are being asked publicly to respond to proposals that we answered and in some respects accepted months ago. Right. We are being asked publicly to set a terminal date for our withdrawal, but we've already offered one in practice. And the most comprehensive peace plan of this conflict lies ignored in the secret channel while the enemy tries again for military victory. That is why I have instructed Ambassador Porter present our plan publicly at this Thursday's session of the Paris Peace Talks, along with alternatives to make it even more flexible. We are publishing the full details of our plan tonight. It will prove beyond doubt which side has made every effort to make these negotiations succeed. It will show unmistakably that Hanoi and not Washington or Saigon has made the war go on. Now here's the essence of our peace plan. Public disclosure may get the attention it deserves in Hanoi. Within 6 months of an agreement, we shall withdraw all U.S. and allied forces from South Vietnam. We shall exchange all prisoners of war. All prisoners of war were ever held in China. There will be a ceasefire throughout Indochina. There shall be a new presidential election in South Vietnam. President Hugh will announce the elements of this election. These include international supervision and an independent body to organize and run the election, representing all political forces in South Vietnam, including the Communist National Liberation Front. Furthermore, President Hugh has informed me that within the framework of the agreement outlined above, he makes the following offer. He and Vice President Hoang will be ready to resign 1 month before the new election. The chairman of the Senate as caretaker head of the government would assume administrative responsibility, but the election would be the sole responsibility of the independent election body. There's on our peace plan. For example, as we offered privately on July 26th of last year, we remain prepared to undertake a major reconstruction program throughout Indochina, including North Vietnam, to help all those peoples recover from the ravages of a generation of war. We will pursue any approach. Negotiations. We're ready to negotiate the plan I've outlined tonight to include a comprehensive agreement on all military and political issues. Or, as we proposed last May, we remain willing to settle on military issues and leave the political issues to the Vietnamese alone. Under this approach, we withdraw all U.S. and allied forces in 6 months in exchange for an Indochina ceasefire and the release of all prisoners. Choice is up to the end. This is a settlement which is fair to North Vietnam, fair to South Vietnam. It deserves the light of public scrutiny by these nations and by other nations as well. It deserves the united support of the United States. We made the substance of this generous offer privately over 3 months ago. It has not been rejected, but it has been ignored. I reiterate that peace offer tonight. It can no longer be ignored. The only thing this plan does not do is to join our enemy to overthrow our allies, which the United States of America will never do. If the enemy wants peace, it will have to recognize the important difference between settlement and surrender. This has been a long and agonizing struggle, but it's difficult to see how anyone, regardless of his past position in the war, could not now say that we have gone the extra mile to offer a settlement that is fair to everybody concerned. steadiness of our withdrawal of troops, America has proved its resolution to end its involvement in the war. By our readiness to act in the spirit of reconciliation, we have proved our desire to be involved in the building of a permanent peace throughout Indochina, and we're ready to negotiate peace immediately. If the enemy rejects our offer to negotiate, we shall continue our program of ending American involvement in the war by withdrawing our remaining forces to South Vietnamese development capability of defending themselves. If the enemy's answer to our peace offer is to step up their attacks, I shall fully meet my responsibility as commander-in-chief over our forces to protect the remaining troops. This is our selection. We want to end the war not only for America, but for all the people of Indochina. The plan I have proposed tonight can accomplish that goal. Some of our citizens have become accustomed to my people. Whatever our government says must be false. Whatever our enemies say must be true. The record I reveal tonight proves the contrary. We can now demonstrate publicly, but we have long been demonstrating privately, that America has taken the initiative not only to end our participation in this war, but to end the war itself for all the people in China. This has been the longest and most difficult war in our history. Honest and patriotic Americans disagree as to whether we should have been involved at all 9 years ago, and there has been disagreement on the conduct of the war. The proposal I have made tonight is one on which we can all agree. Let us unite now in our search for peace, a peace that is fair to both sides, a peace that can last.
Secretary Rogers,
our ambassador in Saigon, our chief negotiator in Paris, and with the full knowledge and approval of President Pew, I sent Dr. Kissinger to Paris as my personal representative on August 4, 1969, to begin these secret peace negotiations. Since that time, Dr. Kissinger has traveled to Paris 12 times on these secret missions. He has met 7 times with Lee Dak-Tol, one of Hanoi's top political leaders, and Minister Quang Quy, head of the North Vietnamese delegation to the Paris talks. He has met with Minister Quang Quy alone 5 times. I would like to take this opportunity, incidentally, to thank President Pompidou of France for his personal assistance in facilitating the arrangements for these talks. This is why I initiated these private negotiations. Practically, both sides can be more flexible in offering to the proponent. Also, private discussions allow both sides to talk frankly, to take positions free from the pressures of public debate. In seeking peace in Vietnam, with so many lives at stake, I thought we could not afford to let any opportunity go by, private or public, to negotiate a settlement. So I have stated a number of questions. As I was prepared, and I remain prepared, to explore the public or private, to speed negotiations to end the war. For 30 months, whenever Secretary Rogers, Dr. Kissinger, I were asked about secret negotiation, we would only say we were pursuing every possible channel in our search for peace. There was never a leak, but we were determined not to jeopardize the secret negotiations. Until recently, this course showed some signs of yielding progress. Now, however, it is my judgment that the purposes of peace will best be served by bringing out publicly the proposal we have been making in private. Nothing is served by silence. On the other side, exploits our good faith to divide America and to avoid the confiscation. Nothing is served by silence, but it misleads some Americans to accusing their government of failing to do what it has already done. And nothing is served by silence but enables the other side to imply possible solutions publicly that it already has rejected privately. Time has come to lay the record of our secret negotiations on the table. Just as secret negotiations can sometimes break a public deadlock, public disclosure may help to break a secret deadlock. Some Americans who believe that the North Vietnamese led them to believe have charged that the United States has not pursued negotiations intensively. As the record will show, just the opposite is true. Questions have been raised as to why we have not proposed a deadline for withdrawal of all American forces in exchange for a ceasefire and return of prisoners of war. Why we have not discussed the 7-point proposal made by the Viet Cong last July in Paris. Why we have not submitted a new plan of our own to move the negotiations off dead center. As the private record will show, we have taken all these steps and more, and we have had them flatly rejected or ignored on the other side. May 31, 1971, 8 months ago, at one of the secret meetings in Paris, we offered specifically to agree to a deadline for the withdrawal of all American forces in exchange for the release of all prisoners of war and a ceasefire. At the next private meeting on June 26, the North Vietnamese rejected our offer. They privately proposed instead their own 9-point plan, which insisted that we overthrow the government of South Vietnam. 5 days later, July 1st, the enemy publicly presented a different package of proposals, the 7-point Viet Cong plan. That posed the dilemma, which package should we respond to, the public plan or the private plan? On July 12th, another private meeting in Paris, Dr. Kissinger put that question to the North Vietnamese directly. They said we should deal with their 9-point secret plan because it covered all of Indochina, including Laos and Cambodia, while the Viet Cong 7-point public proposal was limited to Vietnam. And so that's what we did. We even went beyond that, dealing with some of the points in the public plan that were not covered in the secret plan. On August 16th, in another private meeting, we went further and offered the complete withdrawal of U.S. and Allied forces within 9 months after an agreement on an overall settlement. September 13th, North Vietnamese rejected this proposal. They continued to insist that we overthrow government. What has been the result of these private efforts? For months, our Vietnamese have been berating us in public sessions for not responding to their side's public presented 7-point plan. Truth is, we did respond to the enemy's plan, the manner they asked us to respond, secretly. Full possession of our complete response, the North Vietnamese publicly denounced us for not having responded at all. This induced many Americans in the press and the Congress effectively in their propaganda. Americans who could not have known they were being falsely used by the enemy to stir up the dissidents in this country. I decided in October that we should make another attempt to break the deadline. I consulted with President Q, who concurred fully in a new plan. On October 11th, I sent a private communication to the North Vietnam committees that contained new elements that could move negotiations forward, and urged a meeting on November 1st between Dr. Kissinger and Special Advisor Lee Duck To, or some other appropriate official, now. On October 25th, North Vietnamese agreed to meet, suggested November 20th. But on November 17th, just 3 days before the scheduled meeting, they said Lee Duck To was ill. We offered to meet as soon as he recovered, either with him or immediately with any other authorized leader who could come from Hanoi. 2 months have passed since they called off that meeting. The only reply to our plan has been an increase in troop infiltration from North Vietnam and communist military offensives in Laos and Cambodia. Our proposal for peace was answered by a step up of the war. And that's where matters stand today. We are being asked publicly to respond to proposals that we answered in some respects accepting some months ago in private. We are being asked publicly to set a terminal date for our withdrawals, but we've already offered one in private. And the most comprehensive peace plan of this conflict lies ignoring the secret channel while the enemy tries again for military victory. That is why I have instructed Ambassador Porter to present our plan publicly at this Thursday session of the Paris Peace Talks, along with alternatives to make it even more possible. We are publishing the full details of our plan tonight. It will prove beyond doubt which side has made every effort to make these negotiations succeed. It will show unmistakably that Hanoi, not Washington or Saigon, has made the war go on. Now here is the essence of our peace plan. Public disclosure may give it the attention it deserves now. Within 6 months of an agreement, we will withdraw all U.S. and allied forces from South Vietnam. We shall exchange all prisoners of war wherever they are held in China. There shall be a ceasefire throughout China. There shall be a new presidential election in South Vietnam. President Chu will announce the outcomes of this election. These include international supervision and an independent body to organize and run the election, representing all political forces in South Vietnam, including the Communist National Liberation Front. Furthermore, President Chu has informed me within the framework of the agreement outlined above, he makes the following offer. He and Vice President Hong, that's Vice President Hong, would be ready to resign 1 month before the election. The Chairman of the Senate, as a caretaker head of the government, would assume administrative responsibility in South Vietnam, but the election would be the sole responsibility of the independent election body. There are several other proposals in our new peace plan. For example, as we offered privately on July 26th of last year, we remain prepared to undertake a major reconstruction program throughout Indochina, including North Vietnam, to help all those people recover from the ravages of a generation of war. We will pursue any approach that will speed negotiations. We're ready to negotiate the plan I've outlined tonight, include a comprehensive agreement on all military and political issues. Or, as we proposed last May, we remain willing to settle only the military issues with political issues to the Vietnamese alone. Under this approach, we withdraw all U.S. and allied forces within 6 months in exchange for an Indochina ceasefire and release of all prisoners. The choice is unclear. This is a settlement which is fair to North Vietnam and fair to South Vietnam. All excuses by these nations and by other nations as well. It deserves the united support of the American people. We made the substance of this generous offer privately over 3 months ago. It has not been rejected, but it has been ignored. I reiterate that peace offer tonight. It can no longer be ignored. The only thing this plan does not do is to join our enemy to overthrow our ally, which the United States of America will never do. If the enemy wants peace, it will have to recognize the important difference between settlement and surrender. This has been a long and agonizing struggle for America. It is difficult to see how anyone, regardless of his past position in the war, can now say, we have not gone the extra mile and offered a settlement. It is that fair to everyone concerned. The readiness of our withdrawal of troops, America has proved its resolution and its involvement. By our readiness to act in the spirit of conciliation, America has proved its desire to be involved in the building of a permanent peace throughout Indochina. We are ready to negotiate peace immediately. United rejects our effort to negotiate, we will continue our program of ending American involvement in the war by withdrawing our remaining forces to South Vietnamese development capability of defending itself. If the enemy's answer to our peace offer is to step up their attacks, I shall fully meet my responsibility as commander in chief of our armed forces to protect our remaining forces. To our peace offer is to step up their military attacks, I shall fully meet my responsibility as commander in chief of our armed forces to protect our remaining forces. We do not prefer this course of action. We want to end the war, not only for America, but for all people of China. The plan I propose tonight accomplishes that goal. Some of our citizens have become accustomed to thinking that whatever our government says must be false, and whatever our enemies say must be true. The record I reveal tonight reveals the contrary. We can now demonstrate publicly what we have long been demonstrating privately, that America has taken the initiative, not only to end our participation in the war, but to end the war itself. This has been the longest, most difficult war in our history. Honest and patriotic Americans have disagreed as to whether we should have become involved at all 9 years ago. And there has been disagreement on the conduct of the war. The proposal I have made tonight is one on which we can all agree. Let us unite now in our search for peace, a peace that is fair to both sides, a peace that can last. The offer that I shall now present on behalf of the government of the United States and the government of South Vietnam with the full knowledge and approval of the President Bureau is both generous and far-reaching. It is a plan to end the war now. It includes an offer to withdraw all American forces within 6 months of an agreement. Its acceptance would mean the speedy return of all the prisoners of war to their homes. 3 years ago, when I took office, there were 550,000 Americans fighting in Vietnam. The number killed in action was running as high as 300 a week. There were no plans to bring any Americans home. The only thing that could settle in Paris was the shape of the conference table. I immediately moved to fulfill a pledge I made to the American people. Bring about a peace that could last, not only for the United States, but for all the long-suffering people of Indochina. There were two honorable paths open to us. The path of negotiation was and is the path we prefer, but it takes two to negotiate. There had to be another way in case the other side refused to negotiate. That path was called Vietnamization. That meant training and equipping the South Vietnamese to defend themselves and withdrawing American forces as they developed new capability. That the accusation has been successful. 2 weeks ago, I announced that by May 1st, American forces in Vietnam will be down to 69,000. That means about 500,000 Americans will have been withdrawn from Vietnam over the past 3 years. In terms of American lives, the losses of 304 a week have been cut by 95% to less than 10,000. The path of the opposition has been a long way home, straining the patience, testing the perseverance of the American people. What are the shortcuts? The path of negotiation. Progress there has been disappointing. The American people deserve an accounting of why it has been disappointing. Tonight, I intend to give you that accounting, and in so doing, to try to break the deadlock in the negotiations. We have made a series of public proposals designed to bring an end to the conflict. But early in this administration, after 10 months of no progress in the public Paris talks, I became convinced it was necessary to explore the possibility of negotiating in private channels to see whether it would be possible to end the public deadlock. After consultation with Secretary of State Rogers, our ambassador in Saigon, our chief negotiator in Paris, with the full knowledge and approval of President Pugh, I sent Dr. Kissinger to Paris as my personal representative on August 4, 1969, to begin these secret peace negotiations. Since that time, he has traveled to Paris 12 times on these secret missions. He has met 7 times with Louis Dantot, one of Hanoi's top political leaders, and Ministers Wan Thuy, head of the American North Vietnamese delegation to the Paris talks. He has met with Ministers Wan Thuy alone 5 times. I would like to take this opportunity to thank President Pompidou of France for his personal assistance in helping to make the arrangements for these talks. Now, this is why I initiated these private negotiations. Privately, both sides could be more flexible in offering two approaches. Also, private discussions allow both sides to talk frankly and take positions free from the pressure of the public debate. Seeking peace in Vietnam, so many lives at stake, I felt we could not afford to let any opportunity go by, private or public, to negotiate a settlement. As I have stated on a number of occasions, I was prepared and remain prepared to explore any avenue, public or private, to speed negotiations to end the war. For 30 months, whenever Secretary Rogers, Dr. Kissinger, or I were asked about secret negotiations, we would only say we were pursuing every possible channel in our search for peace. There wasn't a leak because we were determined not to jeopardize the secret negotiations. Until recently, this course showed signs of yielding some progress. Now, however, it is my judgment. The purposes of peace will best be served by bringing out publicly the proposals we have been making in private. Nothing is served by silence when the other side exploits our good faith to divide America and avoid the confiscation. And nothing is served by silence when it misleads some Americans into accusing their government of failing to do what it has already done. Nothing is served by silence when it enables the other side to apply possible solutions publicly that it has already rejected privately. The time has come to lay the record of our secret negotiations on the table. Just as secret negotiations can sometimes break a public deadline, public disclosure may help to break the secret deadline. Some Americans who believe what the North Vietnamese need, let them believe, have charged that the United States has not pursued negotiations intensively. As the record will show, just the opposite. Questions have been raised as to why we have not opposed the deadline for the withdrawal of all American forces in exchange for a ceasefire and return of our prisoners of war. Why we have not discussed the 7-point proposal made by the Viet Cong last July in Paris. Why we have not submitted a new plan of our own to move the negotiations off dead center. Private record will show we have taken all these steps and more, and have flatly rejected or ignored the other side. On May 31, 1971, 8 months ago, at one of the secret meetings in Paris, we offered specifically to agree to a deadline for the withdrawal of all American forces in exchange for the release of all prisoners of war and ceasefire. At the next private meeting, on June 26, the North Vietnamese rejected our proposal. They privately proposed instead their own 9-point plan, which insisted that we overthrow the government of South Vietnam. 5 days later, on July 1st, the enemy publicly presented a different package of proposals, the 7-point Viet Cong plan, and that posed the dilemma. Which package should we respond to, the public plan or the private plan? On July 12th, at another private meeting in Paris, Dr. Kissinger put that question to the North Vietnamese director. They said we should deal with their nine-point secret plan because it covered all of Indochina, including Laos and Cambodia, while the Viet Cong seven-point proposal, the public proposal, was limited to Vietnam. That's what we did. We even went beyond that, dealing with some of the points in the public plan that were not covered in the secret plan. On August 16, at another private meeting, we went further and offered the complete withdrawal of U.S. and allied forces within 9 months after an agreement on an overall settlement. On September 13, the North Vietnamese rejected this proposal. They continued to insist that we overthrow the South Vietnamese government. Now, what has been the result of these private meetings? For months, the North Vietnamese berated us in public sessions for not responding to their side's publicly presented seven-point plan. Truth is, we did respond to the United States plan in the manner they wanted us to respond secretly. Full possession of our complete response, the North Vietnamese publicly denounced us for not having responded at all. They induced many Americans in the press and the Congress into echoing their propaganda. Americans who could not know they were being used falsely by the enemy to stir up divisiveness in this country. I decided in October that we should make another attempt to break the deadline. I consulted with President Pugh, who concurred fully in a new plan. On October 11, I sent a private communication to the North Vietnamese that contained new elements that could move negotiations forward and urged a meeting on November 1st between Dr. Kissinger and Special Advisor Lee Dung-to or some other appropriate official of the panel. On October 25th, the North Vietnamese agreed to meet and suggested November 20th. On November 17, just 3 days before the scheduled meeting, they said Lee Dung-to was ill. We offered to meet as soon as he got well with him, or immediately with any other authorized leader who could come from Hanoi. 2 months have passed since they called off that meeting. The only reply to our plan has been an increase in troop infiltration in North Vietnam and the communist military offensives in Laos and Cambodia. Our proposal for peace was answered by a step up in the war. That is where matters stand today. We are being asked publicly to respond to a proposal that we answered in some respects accepted months ago in private. We are being asked publicly to set a terminal date for our withdrawal, but we have already offered one in private. And the most comprehensive peace plan of this conflict lies ignored in a secret channel while the enemy tries again for military victory. That is why I have instructed Ambassador Ford, whom I will meet after this broadcast, to present our plan publicly at this Thursday session, the Paris Peace Talks, along with alternatives to make it even more flexible. We are publishing the full details of our plan tonight. It will prove beyond doubt which side has made every effort to make these negotiations succeed. It will show unmistakably that Hanoi, a heart of the side of mine, made the world go on. Here's the essence of our peace plan, public disclosure, and give it the attention it deserves in hand. Within 6 months of an agreement, we will withdraw all U.S. and allied forces from South Vietnam. We shall exchange all prisoners of war, There shall be a ceasefire throughout Indochina. There shall be a new presidential election in South Vietnam. President Chu will announce the elements of this election. These include international supervision, an independent body to organize and run the election, representing all political forces in South Vietnam, including the Communist National Liberation Front. Furthermore, President Chu has informed me that within the framework of the agreement outlined above, he makes the following offer. He and Vice President Hoang would be ready to resign 1 month before the election. The chairman of the Senate, as caretaker head of the government, would assume administrative responsibilities in South Vietnam, but the election would be the sole responsibility of the independent election body. There are several other proposals in our new peace plan. For example, as we offered privately on July 26th of last year, we remain prepared to undertake a major reconstruction program throughout Indochina, including North Vietnam, to help all those people recover from the ravages of the generation of war. We will pursue any approach that will speed negotiations. We're ready to negotiate the plan I've outlined tonight and conclude a comprehensive agreement on all military and political issues. Or, as we proposed last May, we remain willing to settle only the military issues and leave the political issues to the Vietnamese alone. Under this approach, we would withdraw all U.S. and allied forces within 6 months exchange for an Indochina ceasefire and the release of all prisoners. The choice is up to the end. This is a settlement offer which is fair to North Vietnam and fair to South Vietnam. It deserves the light of public scrutiny by those nations and by other nations as well. It deserves the united support of the American people. We made the substance of this generous proposal privately over 3 months ago. It has not been rejected, but it has been ignored. I reiterate this peace offer tonight. It can no longer be ignored. The only thing this plan does not do is to join our enemy to overthrow our ally, something the United States of America will never do. The enemy wants peace, and we have to recognize the important difference between self and surrender. It's been a long and agonizing struggle. But it is difficult to see how anyone, regardless of his past position in the war, can now say that we have not gone the extra mile in offering a settlement that is fair to everyone concerned. By the steadiness of our withdrawal forces, America has proved its resolution to end its involvement in the war. By our readiness to act in the spirit of conciliation, America has proved its desire to be involved in the building of a permanent peace throughout Indochina. We are ready to negotiate peace immediately. If the enemy rejects our offer to negotiate, we shall continue our program of ending American involvement in the war by withdrawing our remaining forces in South Vietnamese development capabilities and exercises. If the enemy's answer to our peace offer is to step up their military attacks, I shall fully meet my responsibility as Commander-in-Chief of our armed forces to protect our remaining forces. We do not prefer this course of action. I want to end the war, not only for America, but for all the people of Indochina. The plan I have proposed tonight can accomplish that goal. Some of our citizens have become accustomed to thinking that whatever our government says must be false, whatever our enemies say must be true. The record I reveal tonight proves the contrary. We can now demonstrate publicly what we have long been demonstrating privately. America has taken the initiative, not only to end our participation in this war, but to end the war itself. Most difficult war action. Honest and patriotic Americans have disagreed as to whether we should have become involved at all 9 years ago. President Kennedy sent in the first 15,000 men. There has been disagreement on the conduct. The proposal I have made tonight is one on which we can all agree. Let us unite now in our search for peace. A peace that is fair to both sides. A peace that can last.
Had to add something back in. I did two pages over, but show you what was on the top of it. Kissinger said the question that you have to put it in project yourself.
That's what I hear.
That goes all the same. Unless you have something you want me to write on anywhere. And we need to take out the word communist. I can get your copy.
No, they, that is supposed to be.
Oh, I see.
I just said it, so. I know that.
But you're gonna say it anyway.
You might feel like I should take it.
Okay, all right.
It's not in a public text, I think.
No, they took that.
Not in this text. They aren't supposed to see that. Well, that is, that's public.
I think I just paid it out for you, so. Yeah, I think Hayes and Maria. One thing would be in the meeting. I could probably go in a meeting and have him step out and call you. Or have Mike do that.
Yeah, I got Hayes calling.
Would you go in that meeting and have Al Hayes step out and call him there? November something, just 3 days before.
November 20th. All right, thanks. It's fine. Have a good time tonight. Yeah.
I should have to go back to the department. But maybe not, because we want your opinion and leave.
Yeah.
But they can come back from Denmark.
You sure you get Pat a call?
Oh, I will.
Who did we send to Denmark? Why did he come?
Well, no, we didn't send him, but they went over to see our friends, you know.
Christ, we should have thought of sending him.
Well, they took him on a plane, I think.
Well, if you say it, but if I'd asked him, I could easily send him on.
Well, I suggested it, but...
Well, we had some evidence. John Eisenhower left it.